Lord, I depend on you. Not my job, not the government, not even my spouse, but Lord, I'm depending on you to do what needs to be done. I said that we're not going to try to explain Psalm 63 to you today. From that, we've pulled our subject from my little understanding in Psalm 63. Experiencing true intimacy with God. Experiences are things that we go through to get to someplace else so we can have another experience. Experiencing true intimacy with God.
Well,
not fake, not a one-night stand, but a lifelong experience.
Yes, sir.
Being intimate means into me see. It means showing a close union, a combination of particles or all elements. Being intimate means involving the mixing of our lives with another. Somewhere I remember reading says that friendship is two souls wrapped in one body. That's intimacy. Intimacy is a mingling of souls, a sharing of hearts in good times and in bad times.
Right.
Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end." That's intimacy. And this is what's been telling them after they had been in bondage for 70 years. God was telling them, "I know where you're going. Because I know where you've been. And I know where you're going." And this is so beautiful to me that God, with all the stuff that I'm in right now that I think is going to overcome me.
Well,
if because of the intimacy that I have with God, he already sees me out of this that I am in.
Right.
Experiencing true intimacy with God. True intimacy with God is something that has been sought by Christians since Christ walked the earth. It is only the natural for Christians to long for the experience of the closeness of an intimate relationship with God. But true intimacy with God is not simply a feeling on par with a romantic feeling that we have towards our spouses. It goes much deeper than emotions. It goes down through the soul, and it is reflected in our actions. Proverbs 3 and 32 said, "For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous." Froward is people that do bad and do wrong. God will share his secrets with those that have an intimate relationship with him. Intimate relationship with God is something that we need to be seeking after. And it's not something that you can just do it on special days when you want to. Every day, all day, 24/7, you have to be intimate with God. God cannot be intimate with evil or with disobedience Christians. True intimacy with God begins with drawing near unto Him. You can't stay off out yonder and be close to God. You got to come on in here. You got to get up close and personal with Him. I think I got 3 or 4 points. Point number one, you got to come closer. We want to keep God at arm's length. Keep Him out of here so there's some things He's not going to know about. I stopped by to tell you, you can't do that. You got to come up close and personal. Well, I don't want everybody to know my business. Excuse my grammar. God ain't everybody.
Yeah.
He's just God.
Yes, sir.
I tell you, when you come talk to me, you don't have to tell me all your stuff. I got enough stuff of my own. But just come and let's just sit down. It says, come, let us reason together. We need to get closer to God. God will never draw near to those who do not draw near to Him. And the way we draw near to Him is through righteousness. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hand, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. Get yourself in order. Clean yourself up. Don't come before the King any kind of way. Do as much as you can, and then just bring the rest of it on in there and say, God, this is just me. You got to do the rest. I've done all that I can. The thing that I had to do when I came to God was say, God, I'm in a mess.
Yes, sir.
I can't do anything else.
All right.
I can't do. God, will you help me? When you want to get intimate with God, you got to get up close and personal, and you got to allow Him to know about you. And He already knows, but He just wants you to know that He knows. You have to draw near to Him. And when you draw close to Him, God will. He'll come closer to you. And he's just waiting on you to call Him. And the thing that I love about Him, and sometimes I know I said some weird things, y'all, but God got me. I don't think He ought to do me like He do me sometimes. Because I'm not God. So I see me as all right. And don't y'all look at me funny. You see yourself all right too. But try to look at yourself from God's perspective. He's perfect. Anybody else in here perfect? He's perfect. So He can look at me different than I look at myself. But I'm the only me I know. And God, you got to deal with me right where I am. And He does. But you got to come close to Him. You got to get to know Him. And I say that, and Mr. Allen ain't here to help me today. Deacon Brunson, you're going to have to help me out. But when I was dating Sister Baggett, we didn't always have a telephone in the house, but in that little town called Baker up there by that one red light that's in there, there was a phone booth up there, and it cost a dime. And I'd go in that phone booth, and this time of year it'd be so hot, but I'd stand out there in that phone booth,
yes, sir.
Hot as it was.
Yes, sir.
And talk to her on that phone. And sometimes I wouldn't be saying anything, but I'd just be holding. I'm talking about getting closer, y'all. That's the way we have to do God. We got to talk to Him. We got to find out what He wants us to do. We got to get closer to Him. You got to do it that way. And you can't get to know Him if you don't study His word.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad you asked. I heard you when you asked. How can I do it? We got Bible study.
Yeah.
If some of you seniors don't want to get out at night, we got it 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning. And y'all, if you talking about a good time, you ought to be there with that 10 o'clock bunch. That 6 o'clock bunch, don't y'all get mad with me now. But that 10 o'clock bunch, that's a bunch of crazies. They come in seeking and trying to get closer to. That's the way we need to come. The 6 o'clock bunch, they're that way sometime. But this 10 o'clock bunch, they're like that almost every Wednesday at 10 o'clock. They come in seeking to get closer to God. A lively conversation in God's word. That's how we get to know him. You got to get closer to him. You cannot fall in love with God if you stay out yonder. You got to come where it is.
Yes, sir.
Some of us old enough to remember when you had the fireplace and the heaters in the house. In the wintertime, when you wanted to get get warm, you had to get closer to the fire.
Yes,
and you'd back up to it and get warm. And then if you had to run outside and get some wood, then you'd run outside. But you got closer to it. That's the way you have to get closer to God. This is how you get closer to him, studying his word. And failing not to assemble yourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made in the righteousness of God in him. If you hope to have intimacy with God, it is only through those who have been saved by grace, through faith, who have hope because of what Christ did for us on going to the cross. That's what you have to understand. You get closer to him by knowing what Christ have done for you, knowing that you could not do it for yourself. There's not a one of us that could have saved ourselves. Somebody else had to do it for you. And Christ did it for us. That's how we get intimate with God. You get closer to him. And I know now that got this thing by homosexuals. Men loving men. In the wrong way. In the wrong way. Women loving women in the wrong way. No, you can have the same intimacy with God that you have with anybody else. And it'll be clean and above board. Won't be anything that you have to hide. I know today, I know as much as I can know that my wife loves me. But if she has to choose between me and God,
all right,
I'm gone.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. If I have to make a decision between her and God, mm-hmm, she's gone. Because I love God. And I haven't always been in love with him, and I believe I'm in love with him now because she prayed for me so hard when I was out there that I couldn't help but come. But because of the love that I have for God, it makes you love others a whole lot more. Because you're in love with God, you're drawing closer to him. And some of us don't want to get any closer to God than we think we are right now. I want to get so close to him that I be inside of his skin.
Yes.
Because I love him that much. And when you get close to him, you find out a whole lot of stuff about him. And he got stuff that he just want to give to you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It is the gift of God.
Yes.
Not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't do it yourself, but if you get close to God, it's a gift that he's given it to you. He's given us salvation. Y'all need to study that word salvation. It got a lot of stuff in it. When you get salvation, you got almost everything that God has for you when you get saved. But you have to seek after him. You have to go, and he's not lost. I'm the one that's lost, but I have to do the seeking.
Word.
Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. Hebrews is a book of betters. Christ is better than David. Christ is better than the angels. Christ is better than the law. Christ is what will do this for us. Christ will help us get closer to God. We need to get there. We need to draw near to God. Get closer to Him so you'll know more about Him. Point number two. The perfect role model of intimacy with God. And I give you one guess who that is, and if you're wrong, it doesn't count.
All right.
That's Jesus. That's the perfect role model. Sometimes I'm not going to say in your leisure. Go back and read sometimes when in your reading, when you have time, chapter 5 and 6 and 7 of the book of John. If you want to see a relationship, if you want to fall in love with God, what's that song Jacoya used to sing? Falling in love with Jesus. You got to do it. You got to just love Him. You got to just love Him. And when you read chapter 5, 6, and 7 of the book of John, you'll see how close and how much a relationship that Jesus had with His Father. They were so close that He did nothing without seeking the Father's permission. Whatever I do, I do to the glory of God. That's the way we need. Jesus is our role model. We need to emulate Him. We need to strive to be like Jesus. To get intimate with God, you need to know what it takes. You need to know what He requires of you. That's what happens when you get closer to Him. We know that He is equal with God. As God possesses life within Himself, so Jesus possesses life within Himself. As God has authority over all life, so Jesus has authority over all life. In fact, the model of intimacy with God, because He is His Father, they are one.
Yes.
He says that in John chapter 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. There is no relationship more closer and more intimate than that of the Father and the Son. They are so much alike that you can't have one without the other. Some of us are old enough to remember those treble sewing machines. They used to have an oil called 3-in-1. I don't know where they got the name from, but I know what I give it to. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You don't know what all it'll do, but it's three of them wrapped up in one. You can't have one without the other. They are all so closely intertwined that you can't take one. If you take one, you got to take the other. So therefore, Jesus is our perfect earthly role model for having perfect intimacy with God. You have to want it. You have to seek after it. It's not something that you can just do it. If you just come here, if your intimacy with God is based on your what on only on Sunday morning between 11 and 1. What is 168 hours in a week? Something like that. But see, you're not giving Him what it needs for you to be intimate with Him. I ain't lost. If you don't spend quality time with God, you won't fall in love with Him. I keep saying it, I keep saying it, and I'm going to keep saying it until God changed my mind. There's two things that man values. One of them he can't get any more of. That's his time. We think that if we give God our money, He got us. No. There's some people that tithe, God don't have them because they haven't given Him the most important thing. That's their time.
Yeah.
You can get some more money, but you won't get Sunday morning back.
All right.
You won't get Sunday morning, August the 11th, 2013. You won't get that back.
Yes.
You won't get, you have no time. You won't see it again. So you need to give God your time. Give God your, when you give him your time, God will make you do more, and you will be allowed, you can do more in the time. If you give God your time, you can do more, get more accomplished, you can make better decisions. All the things you do will be better because you're giving God your time. I said this before, and it's the truth, and I don't do it. I won't do it now. I could catch fish on Sunday. When I wouldn't catch none during the week, I could catch some on Sunday. Because I should have been in church. But I wasn't. I was fishing or hunting. I think I got a deer right there in my house. And I think I killed a deer on Sunday. I should have been in church. Used to take Sunday morning and wash my truck. If it doesn't get washed on Sunday morning, now it won't get washed. Because and I'm saying that about me because that's what I did. But time, I was not giving God my time. If you're going to get closer to him, you have to follow Jesus, and he was the perfect role model. Everything he did was based upon God. Got up early in the morning. Gave God his time. Went off by himself to pray. Giving God his time. You got to give God some quality time. You got to have some time alone with God. You got to get along with God because you want to be intimate with him. And when you're intimate with him and when you get along with him, you're saying, God, you are the most important part of my life right now. And this is what's important to me. You have to give him the time, because if you don't give him the time, you will not know about him. You have to learn of him. You have to learn things about God. You have to know what he'll do. Okay. Jesus' relationship with his Father was characterized by love and obedience. Jesus came to the earth to do his Father's will. He did nothing on his own, but in all things he did the will of the Father. Not my will, but thine. But thine be done. Jesus is the perfect role model of intimacy with God. Number one, by his obedience. He's a perfect role model because of his great works. He's a perfect role model by his power to quicken it and give life and to raise up the dead. By his control over the whole judicial process that God have in place. Jesus will be in charge of that. By his authority over man's destiny to save from death and to give life. Jesus is in charge of that because he is in perfect obedience and surrender, and his intimacy is with God. Whatever he does is because the Father said for it to be done. His power to execute judgment, Jesus will judge the world because his relationship that he had with his Father is such that God can trust him to do just what he said he would do. His claim to be the Son of Man, God can trust him with that. His power to resurrect all men from the grave. There's nobody that will do anything in the end that Jesus does not allow to be done because the judgment is put into his hand. I'm glad you asked. Because of his intimacy with the Father. He's so much in love with the Father that whatever the Father says to do is going to be done without a shadow of a doubt. God doesn't have to worry about Jesus straying away from him because he is his Son, and he is, so to speak, in earthly term, he's a chip off the block. He's just like his Father. He's going to do just what his Father said. John chapter 5, those passages, they'll come from John chapter 5 verse 17 and verse 30, and then Luke 22 and 42 said, Father, if thou will remove this cup from me, nevertheless not my will but thy will be done. Jesus was in the garden Garden of Gethsemane, trying to get ready to go back to heaven, and the man part of him knew he was going to suffer and die, but then he asked his father, said, "Let your will be done." See, that's the intimacy we have to have with him. We have to be so much in love with him that whatever he wants us to do is what we want to do, whether we might not agree with it at first, but in the long run, you got to come around and say, "God, this is it." Like this message right here today, I wanted to go somewhere else, but I couldn't go because it wouldn't leave my mind. I had to preach it, because if I wouldn't have preached it, I'd have been disobedient. And if I'd have preached what I was thinking about, some of you might would have loved it a lot better than you did this one. But God didn't say for it to be preached. He wants us to fall in love with him. He wants us to be intimate with him, because we need to be in love with God. Here we see the perfect example of true intimacy reflected in the obedience of Jesus. He yielded his will to the will of his Father. You have no will. It's just like being an ambassador for the United States in another country. You don't have anything to say. Anything you say, it better be what the country wants you to say, because you are an ambassador for the country. That's what believers are. They are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. They are God's ambassadors. So whatever you say need to be what God would have you to say. Point number three, I got this one from watching television and watching commercials. Commercials are good and they'll entertain you. The point number three is I got this. I got that from watching the Progressive insurance commercial, when the guy was throwing up the saws and the other guy walked up there and said, give me one. And he doesn't give it. He tells him, "I got this." Jesus says this. He says, "I got this." He is your perfect role model. He got it. He in love. Not that we love God, but because he first loved us. First John chapter 4, verse 10. He loves us, y'all. That's why he said, "I got this. I know what it takes. I know what it takes to get you." He, Jesus Christ, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, it says he is our propitiation. Propitiation is means that he paid the price that's paid in full. Nothing else is owed on the bill. For all of my sin, Jesus Christ was and is my propitiation. He paid the price so I could get back to glory. He says, "I got this. I got what it takes. I know what it takes. I can get him back home." He made the sacrifice. He covered me. I'm glad you asked. He covered me in his blood. His blood covered all of my sins. He got it, y'all. We need to understand that you don't have to worry. Some of us think that we're not worthy to be saved. You don't have to worry about it. The bill has been paid, and it's paid in full. Jesus Christ paid it better than 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary. Paid it with his humanly life. He died so you would have a right to the tree of life. You can say, "I got this," because if you get Jesus Christ, you have all you need. And Jesus Christ, on a solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. It means to turn away from anger, to turn away from sin. Jesus Christ paid the price. He made a reconciliation between God and man. God is holy and just. He is perfect love, but he is also perfect holiness and justice. Therefore, we must execute perfect justice against a sinner. And I was a sinner. I couldn't go on my own. But Jesus Christ, being made in the, made just like his Father, he could go and stand before him and say, "Gee, God, Father, this is one of those that's washed in the blood of the Lamb." And God would say, "Come on home." That email that I keep remembered in my mind about the picture of Jesus standing up in front of me. I say it was me, but it was a little man right there in the email, and Jesus standing up and big boulders hitting Jesus and little bit of grains of sand hitting the man. See, Jesus stops the biggest stuff that's coming your way. Something mighty bad was heading your way, but Jesus stopped it. That's called hell in the grave. All you got to do is serve a true and a living God. Then John chapter 14 verse 15 said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you want to be intimate with me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you keep them, that's not an option, y'all. That's a command. You don't have a choice. If you love him, you're going to keep his commandment. If you love him, you're going to obey him. You got to obey him because he's worthy to be praised. God will get you back to glory if you want to go back. But you got to want to go back. You can't just want to go back on a Sunday morning. You got to go back on a Monday, on a Tuesday, or a Wednesday, or whatever the day is. Even in midnight when you're sleeping, you got to want to go back because God have made a way. But you got to receive him. You're experiencing true intimacy with God. Justice, if justice had a plumb the line, would none of us been here today? But justice couldn't plumb the line. God took justice and he scurried it to the right. That's where his son went. He made it out of a cross, and Jesus died for me on a cross. Listen to me. I know I probably did a bad job of explaining to you how you have to have an intimate relationship with God, but my love for God is beyond explaining because I just love him because of who he is. I get to thinking sometime and I say, God, how far you done brought me from? And I start thinking and I start talking to my God, and my soul cries hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You've been good to me, and you brought me from a mighty long ways. I don't know what he done for nobody else, but I know he brought me, and I'm glad that I let Jesus be my example. I'm glad when Jesus said, I got this, I let him have it. I'm glad that he loved me. Oh yes, I love him, and I'm in love with him, and I'm glad that he didn't take me out of my, when I was in my sin, because if he would have taken me in hell, I would lift up my eyes. But because Jesus Christ said, I got this, he got me, he brought me out, picked me up, put my feet on the solid rock, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all of the ground sinking sand. You got to love him, y'all, just because of who he is. You have to have an intimate relationship with God. You got to love him. You got to love God. And it's an intimate relationship. You cannot fake it. It cannot be a one-night stand. You got to love him. You got to love him. And listen to me. When I sure enough have to really know that I love him, when I get to going through stuff, been walking right, been studying his word, doing what he asked of me to do, and yet trouble comes my way. And then I want to question him. I know none of y'all ain't like that because y'all holy and perfect. But I want to question. I want to ask him why. And then he turned right around and asked me, why not? You say you trust me. You say you have an intimate relationship with me. And I do love you, God. But every now and then, I want to ask you, why me, God? Why me, God? But then I hear you. I heard you when you told me. Because I'm getting you ready. I'm getting you ready. Because one of these old days, all of my trouble gonna be washed away. One of these old days, I won't have trouble anymore. All of my trouble will be over. One of these days, that's what he's getting me ready for. So then I look at the devil, look at him flat-footed. and said, bring it on. Bring it on. And I do like the guy on the commercial. I said, I got this. I got it. Give it to me. And when he comes up there, I step back and tell Jesus to get it. Because he got him. He have defeated him. We need to understand he is a defeated foe. But he doesn't want to act like it. The devil is the biggest counterfeiter that there is. He is a counterfeiter. He'll make you think that what you're trying to do for God is not going to work. But you have to know. You have to know who your role model is. I told somebody, I don't forget who it was, that I just know. Knowing the devil a little bit, I know about him. That when Jesus was hanging up on the cross and he said, it's finished, I know he was just, I got him now. I got him now. But see, I got it written on the index card in there. When you face your greatest opposition, victory is waiting on you. When you face your greatest opposition, Christ faced his greatest opposition on the cross, and victory was right there waiting on him. But early on resurrection morning, stepped out on resurrection ground and declared, all power is in my hand. Not some of it, all power. And all is all. There's no more left. There's no power that God does not have. He got it. I'm through, but let me give you some myths about intimacy. Myths are things that we think that are true that's not. This myth is that intimacy is primarily about what God will do for us when we get close to him. That's a myth. That's not true. All along the journey, God will do things. And listen, I don't know, y'all probably not like this, but God does so much for you. When he does this, you say, well, he can't top this. I know why he can't top this. Because this is not now. The now is what's better. Whatever God does for me today is better than yesterday. Another myth is intimacy is about an informal, buddy-buddy relationship with God. We want to think that we can get to be God's buddy. No, you can't be God's buddy. You ain't going to be buddy-buddy with God. That's a myth. The devil want to, because see, you're not close enough to him. God don't talk to you 24/7. So y'all, no. That's a myth. That's not true. If God have talked to you in the last, said something to you personally in the last 4 or 5 years, you're in good shape.
All right.
Because see, what he gives you, it doesn't run out. It's always there. It's in a continuation. Another myth is the experience of intimacy is the same for all of us. Yeah. It's not. Don't you think that God got to love you as much as he loved anybody else? Because you are different. There's not a person in the world that approaches God the same way and should expect the same thing. Because if he was God enough, help me, Holy Ghost, to give every one of us in here a different fingerprint. Don't you think he's God enough to bless each one of us by ourselves and not bless anybody else? Like, your fingerprint will identify you of all the 6 billion people that's been born. Another myth is that we can't experience the fullness of the intimacy of God in the here and now. The love relationship that we have with God now is not as great as it's going to be when you get to heaven. You got something to look forward to. And I know I do. Because I know right now, I love him. And it's going to be better than that when I get... No. Well, we said, no. But it can, because he's not going to give us everything. Because see, now.
I'm not going to say what I'll start to say because I get in trouble with that, Shona. The next myth is we can't experience intimacy. And this is the one that where I was messed up at. We can't experience intimacy with a partial surrendered life. I go to church. I halfway do what's right. I ought to have an up close and personal intimacy with God. No. It's all or nothing. Somewhere in there it says one of his names is Jealous. Nothing or nobody comes in front of God. You can't partially surrender your life and expect to have the intimacy of God that a surrendered person would have. You just can't do it. Brothers and sisters, we need to become more intimate with God. And we can do that by staying in his word, getting closer to him, following his role model, and knowing that he got it. You don't have to do anything but receive. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When you receive, it's paid for. All you got to do is cash the check. The money's in the bank. But you have to know what you want. You have to know that. And if you've been living any while down here on this earth, you ought to know that this is not all there is to it. There is more to it than this. There got to be. Because if this all it is, hey, go back out there in the world. Have your party, get drunk, get high, do whatever you want to do. But I'm telling you, this is not all there is to it. There is life. And it's a wonderful life. I'm through. But I thought I was having fun in the yesterdays of my life. I thought I was. I'm having the time of my life right now. And I get angry with one person for not totally surrendering my life to God. Anybody, if you want perfect peace, happiness, joy, surrender your life to Christ. I'm through, but let me try to drive this point home to you. To become intimate with God is not something that happens lickety-split. It's a process you go through. It takes time. No, you don't stay out there and keep sinning. You come on in the house. You can be changed in the house. You can. Well, let me look at all of you. There's not a one of you in here. If you have surrendered to Christ, when you first surrendered, you were at the same place you were now. If you are, you stale. You stagnant water. Because every born-again believer should progress in their walk with God. See the young man holding those two boys right there. They didn't get that way just as soon as they were born. It took time. And you were just like that when you were born. You were on milk. When you first got saved, if you're like a lot of us, one thing would have made you go back out. If you said the pastor would have told you, said, "Let me see your W-2 form," you would have turned around and went back out of church. Because he's gonna tell you then, okay, you need to write enough checks in the year for the church to have this. That would have been enough to send you back out. Yeah, and Bible studies Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, Sunday school 9:30. No, I'm coming at 11 o'clock. No, you gotta be here 9:30. See, but because we have grown, we grow to it. No tomato is ready to eat as soon as it come on the vine. No tomato, no grapes, no pears, none of them are ready to eat as soon as they come on the vine. You are not either. When you become a Christian, you are not as good as you're going to be. You have something else to do. You got to get some stuff off of you. And just because you've been in here 50 years, you still got some stuff on you. You got something on you that needs to come off. And Christ can take it off when we follow him and become he becomes our role model and we surrender our life to him. We will know then that we have an intimate relationship with him. When the time that you know that your intimacy is growing with Christ is when you're in trouble. When things are going well, we sometimes think about God. Got my job, got my money, everything's going okay. Wife and children, everything okay. Bills all paid, I'm okay. Get laid off. Stay laid off 6 or 7 months. No house payment being made. Then you'll pray. You'll do everything. You'll be at Bible study 6, you'll be there 5. But you're in trouble. We need to get this. We need to treat God like we want him to treat. I don't ever want God. I don't. If God know I need something, it ought to be there before I ask him.
All right.
That's the way. And so we ought to do that way about him. We ought to be doing what he would have us to do. Falling in love with Jesus. That's all that I need. If you love him. If you love him, he'll do just what you need for him to do. He will supply every one of your needs. You will not have a need that he will not supply. But you need to be in love with him. And when you're in love with him, you don't want to do anything that might upset him. And you get to know what will upset him by studying his word. And even though no matter how much you study, sometimes you're going to mess up. That's why you need to ask for forgiveness every the night from when you go to bed, when you put your head on the pillow. Those things that I've done that I don't know that I've done. Yeah. What I did and said to Deacon Westbrook, forgive me. If it hurt his feelings or anybody else. We need to be constantly reminded that God loves us. Y'all, intimacy. A lot of men are not in church today, I think, because we are afraid of intimacy. We are afraid of intimacy. We don't want people to know that we love them. You ought to know it because of what I do. I used to hear my wife and other women say this every now and then. You ought to tell me that you love me. Every now and then, you ought to tell God that you love him. And every day of your life, you ought to show him that you love him.
Yes.
By the lifestyle that you live.
Mm-hmm.
Will you stand? And if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, this is your time to come to him just as you are.